morning. A millionaire, I'm a young money millionaire, tougher than Nigerian hair. My criteria complete.
Yeah, Alex Dono, Brian Monroe with you here on 790 The Ticket. We got the great Vlad Louisant on the other side of the glass. Going to be visiting with Dan Day here in a moment. Now, before we get to, first, I'll give you the sports headlines, then Dan will give us the important stuff, the day spa headlines. Dan, you've already got, oh, no, I thought you already had your 2020 national title t-shirt, but that's your 2003 national championship LSU t-shirt on. You are Louisiana born and bred. You're an LSU alum. You love the Tigers. You're Tigers.
I'm Cajun, too, just like Coach O.
You're Cajun, just like Coach O. You grew up eating Minez sandwiches, as I'm sure he did as well.
Crawfish. What did he say after the game? Did he say, I'm going home eating a ham sandwich?
I couldn't understand a word
ham
of what
sandwich
he said.
And chilling with his family. That's exactly what he said. I said, come on, bro. You can have ham sandwiches whenever you want.
We love sandwiches, man.
How did you celebrate last night? Are you as washed as me that you went right to bed? Or because, I mean, I didn't have a horse in the race. So did you celebrate last night?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I went to a dive bar. You know how I do it. Got there early, watched the pregame, soaked it all in, stayed late, watched all the postgame reaction, talked to people at the bar, went home, went to sleep.
I don't think there's anything better outside of maybe, like, I don't know, first love. I don't think there's anything else better than watching your team celebrate a championship. Like, that feeling. Like, it's like falling in love, right? When, whether it be one of these Miami Heat teams that won a title, watching them celebrate on the court, going all the way back to my 01 Canes, watching them celebrate championships, I guess the Marlins. I'm not old enough to remember the Dolphins celebrating titles, but when you're in that moment, you're watching your players put the T-shirts on and hold the trophies, or for Dan, he's watching Joe Burrow light up a cigar in the locker room last night. Is there anything better in sports than, you know, the post-game championship ceremony where it's all new and it's all fresh and everything seems to be possible in life at that moment?
Nothing's better than that. I mean, you're going nuts. It's your team. Like, especially for teams that haven't won it in a long time, right? LSU won it last in, 2007?
Something like that. Yeah, it was a while.
So it's been a while, but not like anything crazy. But think about a team that hasn't won it since the 80s or the 50s, and all of a sudden you end this drought and you're just going nuts. But anytime your team gets to win a championship, you're partying, you're normally with your friends or family, you're probably having some cocktails or some other type of adults, you know, fun stuff or whatever.
There's
ladies
everywhere.
Whatever you want to do, there's ladies everywhere. You get to talk to trash. You get to talk trash to all your friends that are rival schools and stuff like that. You get to post everything and talk everything you want to say. It's the best feeling in the world. The best feeling.
But before we get to Dan's day spa headlines, let me give you some sports headlines.
This is WAXYAM South Miami and WSFSFM HD2 Miramar, a radio.com sports station.
LSU Tigers are national champs 42-25. They beat Clemson last night. Joe Burrow, 463 passing yards, 5 touchdown passes, 58 rushing yards, and a touchdown. He was just absolutely insane. He's going to end up going number one overall to Cincinnati. He's not coming to Miami, unfortunately. Miami Heat will host the San Antonio Spurs tomorrow night at 7:30. You can hear that on this radio station. Miami Hurricanes hoops team will be at NC State tomorrow at 7. You can hear that on our sister station, 560 The Joe. And then Thursday night on 560 The Joe, you can hear the Florida Panthers hosting the Los Angeles Kings. So those are your sports headlines. But I got to tell you, ever since, I think late last week, I found out I'd be doing the show with you tonight, Brian, and immediately I was inspired by the idea that I might be able to track down Dan Day for some day spa headlines. Dan, are there any happy endings today in the day spa?
Always. Here we go. Got to thank you, Vlad, for playing New Orleans' own Lil Wayne, so why not open with some day spa rapping? Rapper Frizzy just completed 31 straight hours of freestyling.
31 straight 31? Hours?
31 straight hours of freestyling. There had to be some weak bars in there, though.
No sleep, no
31
eat.
Hours of nonstop?
Well, they gave like a five-minute break here and there to like drink water, go to the bathroom, stuff like that.
Time out. 31 hours of Frizzy. Straight rapping?
Frizzy, F-R-Z-Y, Frizzy.
I can't even talk for 31 hours
I'm
straight.
I'm saying.
Now you got a lot to say. Bars? Wow.
Some of those bars had to be garbage, though.
Oh, for sure.
Absolutely. He repeated some verses.
Now, did he do this, I'm guessing, just to go viral, or was there a charitable component to this, or did he do, like, any good for society? Like, I don't know why a human being outside of the
Guinness Book of World Record, baby.
That could be. Although, does anyone care about the Guinness Book at this point?
I seen some dude living up in a wine barrel in the air to set his own Guinness Book of
Records.
What
we're talking about. In South Africa, a guy wants to live 67 days in a wine barrel on top of a pole.
Can he drink the wine?
Okay. I don't think you want to drink that for 67 days. There's a lot of extra stuff going on in there. But
true.
I think
that's
I speak for everyone when I ask, there's a Guinness Book of World Record for that?
Like, but it's his own. Crazy. He's breaking his own. Like, what makes you want to break your own record? You're the only moron to do that.
Did he originally just do it for 4 minutes and that was the record?
I have no idea. 67 days, eight stories in the air. No way. You got me crazy. Nah.
When I was a little kid, like, I used to go to Walden Books, and I used to, every year, I would buy the updated, because it would come out yearly, I would buy the new Guinness Book of World Records. Like, I loved that when I was a kid, to see the ridiculous stuff that people do. I don't have to buy that book anymore because I follow Dan Day on Twitter
it,
and I
baby.
Get the day spa updates every day.
Oh, man. God bless the Australian firefighters right now for everything they're doing. But even more so, recently, a bar was turned into a shelter for the homeless that had lost their house in the fire.
That's
they were
nice.
Running out of beer.
Oh, no.
What?
So Australian Fire Department to the rescue. Brought emergency supplies of beer for everyone.
Yes!
Gotta love it.
That is a great fire department.
So these people,
they're not only finding the time and the resources to fight the fires, they're also devoting some time to bring some beer. God bless them.
I mean, Foster's, Australian for beer, right?
Cool.
I mean, listen, I've seen a lot of amazing things with this. You know, this obviously is a travesty, what's going on, but a lot of people have come together. I saw, you know, some company coming together and dropping sweet potatoes and carrots for animals. And then
the one
girl on social media that makes fun of like Kim Kardashian and stuff and recreates their stuff, she's up to like 35, 40 million raised for Australia.
Did you see, is that the same girl? Like there was some woman, I saw this on like Barstool Sports.
Not the nudes one.
Week. The nudes one.
No, she's up to like 750,000. This woman's up to, I swear to you, 35 million.
Wow. And she's not even sending nudes.
No. You I don't think you'd want her nudes.
I'm glad you brought up nudes, though, because it is time to take that downward turn in the
Guinness
spa.
Love
it. Everyone is so happy about Sex Turtle. This tortoise, have you heard about him, Galapagos
what?
Islands?
Yes. I think I heard about it because I follow you on Twitter. Let Brian know about
Sex
this because this is unbelievable.
Oh,
turtle.
Yeah. Galapagos tortoise, 100 years old. He's credited with saving his species. On the endangered species list, I think there are only 2 males left. He has spawned over 800 tortoises.
What?
And he's retiring now. They're sending him off. They're not killing him. They're sending him off. They're saying enough sex for you. Rest your thing.
That's 800,000, man.
That's the Ron Jeremy of turtles right there.
Oh, he's beyond Ron.
Oh, he's Peter North?
Oh, he's...
What?
He's Mandingo.
Oh, my God.
He's the Mandingo
800?
Of tortoises.
He is.
You know what? I think I would tap out way before that. 800?
At least by 500, I'd have been like, come on.
Hey, come on. Like, I don't even want to do this anymore.
I'm done, man.
Do you think, like, would you have it in you, like, to save the species? Like, let's say, like, climate change or World War III or something, like, the human race is in big trouble.
Oh,
and
I have to save the human race?
Yeah, you have to save the human race.
Kids are pains in the ass.
You're the only man left in the world. There's a handful of, like, eligible childbearing potential females around, and they
I gotta deal with these females.
Vlad, it's up to you to save.
I gotta
the
deal with them for the rest of my life.
No.
I'm
guessing.
I'm just shooting and leaving.
Yeah, when you're spawning that many kids, man, you're just doing your thing.
Hey, I'm down as long as you got a little.
Yeah,
little
I'm down.
For
I'm
me.
Down.
You got
I'm
a little. Blue pill
yeah,
for me,
if
I'm
I
down.
If I don't gotta deal with them, I'm good.
Yeah,
I'm good. When if I gotta deal with them, nah, I'm not claiming these.
When does it become work though? You know, you get up. Oh man. Gotta go have sex with a bunch of she turtles. Let's do this.
Yeah, I think Vlad was on to something though with the kids. Like I'm currently raising one kid, and it's a joy, it's a pleasure. But I can imagine like a bunch of kids. I would probably just say, you know what? If it's up to me for the human race to make it, I think we've had a good run. I think we're done.
I would either say that or just like you know what you know just kill me. Take all my functioning body parts that you need to, you know, to create and just do it. I can't do it. I can't do it with these kids.
All right, we're going to wrap it all up with a very nice story. And Vlad, this one I'm going to have to use some vocal, I don't know, tiptoeing. You're always kind of the censor guy. Taking the internet by storm, down under, let's call them sex toy.
Okay, you can say that.
Well, no, the word I want to use begins with a D, but...
Oh, okay, no.
I think I know where you're headed.
They're Australian-themed men's recreational parts, and they have all types of, you know, down-under themes, and they're raising money. Everyone that buys one, the money goes towards firefighters.
See, that's a good cause.
And raising, yeah.
So wait, time out. Yeah. So we're taking male body parts.
Mm-hmm. A fake male body part.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Rhymes with Wildo.
Yeah.
Yep. Yep. There you go. Mm-hmm.
Like, how does one theme that to Australia? Like, that's what I don't understand. Like, are there, like, boomerangs, like, drawn
it's
on
a whole
the,
new meaning
maybe
for
it's
down
a
under.
Koala bear.
Yeah, there's a koala bear on the base.
Yeah.
Just kind of on
or
the base.
Or a kangaroo, and it's got the kangaroo sack and everything, you know.
Yeah, and it's got some Australian colors
Disney
in there.
Definitely brings a new meaning to down under.
When you see people walk up from behind you in the day spa, you get a little nervous, you know. I see Hawkman walking behind us. I thought maybe our boss was
that's
coming
crazy
up.
That's crazy. Really? They're going
to. They're raising tons of money, thousands and thousands of dollars.
Now, here's the question, because we all know when there's a disaster and people tie things to charity and we're going to give money, how much money are they giving of each sale?
That's a great point, because are they pocketing like 95%
exactly,
and giving a couple bucks? You always need to watch out for that, because a lot of these people who run these charities, they're driving around in their Bentleys and they're living that life, and then you're thinking, wait a second, I donated money to, like, feed, like, starving children in some third world country.
You fed them.
Why are you driving a Bentley? Like, what is going on here?
Isn't it something like 16 or 21% is legally how much money you need that's donated to that charity of your choice?
I guess what you're saying, when you're buying charity sex toys, you need to read the fine print?
You need to read the fine print. At least with the young lady that's giving away nude pictures, I'm getting a nude picture, and I know she's giving the money.
Have you actually done that?
What? Send money for a nude picture?
Yeah.
Nah, man. It's called Pornhub.
That's a fact.
Who am I paying for something? Are you crazy?
When you put it that way.
How would you pay for something and you could go down the street?
Hey, oh, wait. I can just hit the button and be like, what am I in the mood for today?
Well, I'm just curious, because obviously she is raising money. So
oh, she did a good job.
So somebody's paying. But the thing is, like, you have to look at it this way. You're not really paying for the nudes. You're making a charitable donation.
Yeah, that makes you
feel
better.
And then she's sending you the nude out of the goodness of her heart.
Well, same thing with the Hildos over there, right, too, as well?
Happy endings for everyone.
Some people get happy endings after, you know.
The best part about the day spa is I'm never sure if we'll be allowed back, any of us, for another
segment. Oh, yeah, nah, come on, man. Are you kidding me? If Bob Kraft can come back, we can.
Yeah, straight up.
Dan Day, enjoy the win. Celebrate again tonight.
Have a drink for me, too.
Yeah. Dan, what's your, outside of beer, what's, like, your drink of choice? Like, is there a signature? Because I know with Brian, he loves Crown.
Yeah,
right?
That's my drink, baby.
Vlad, what's your signature drink?
Jack? And Diet. Yeah, Jack and Diet or Jack and Coke.
I'm a tequila guy.
Boom. Oof. Oh, God, I don't even want to think about
tequila. Everyone
says
that when I bring up tequila.
Yeah. No, tequila's you have to prepare for that, bro.
Yeah, you got
to
prepare.
Like, you got to understand that night you're drinking tequila.
That's a different type of drunk.
Yeah, like, that's a different. It can't be like, oh, hey, why don't you have this? It's like, I've been drinking dark all night.
The thing about me is, I talk about being washed, and I am washed, but like the one or two nights a year I can let loose, I go 0 to 60 immediately.
Oh, yeah.
Immediately.
For sure. You need to.
How long were you timed? Like, how long were you given notice of the drinking? Because I think as you get older and now you become a parent, you have to.
Yeah, sometimes it's planned months in advance.
Yeah, you see.
No,
so you're
honestly,
prepared.
like I can remember, probably the most intoxicated I've been since college or maybe ever was about a little over a year ago when I went to New Orleans, Dan City, for a wedding. So obviously, I knew for months I was going there. I knew my child, who was not even a year old at the time, was not coming with me, would stay home with grandparents, so I knew it's on. And it was on.
Did you train?
No, I just went right in.
Dang, wow.
Like, listen, it's like riding a bike for me, bro.
Damn, we didn't hear your drink of choice.
Yeah.
You know, it's always beer, sometimes beer in a shot, but if I have to just drink like a mixed drink, I go with gin.
I like
gin.
It. Very sophisticated.
Wow.
I don't
know. Is there a drink of choice for Louisiana, like natives? Is there
like
a
hurricane? Or
they have like Zazarac, which to me tastes like just straight up liquor.
Sazerac?
Zazarac. Yeah.
Zazarac. Okay.
But it's spelled with an S.
Sounds like an Old Testament character.
I had a drink
something.
Called a Sazerac.
That's the same thing. Yeah.
It's the same thing.
It's
okay.
It's spelled Sazerac, but it's pronounced Zazarac.
Oh, okay.
Louisianans mispronounce everything.
Okay. Yeah, I had that before. They had it at places.
You were giving
Zaz
a condition here. I was like, what the hell is Zazerac? I was like, wait, what's wrong with Zaz, though?
You like the Zazerac?
Yeah, it was not a bad drink.
There you go.
Yeah, it was good.
It'll knock you out.
Yeah. It takes a lot to knock me out, but.
Yeah. So that was the day spa. Excellent work, Dan Day. We'll see you next time, sir. Alex Dono, Brian Monroe, we continue here on 790 The Ticket.
It's in your handbag, you're not.
Alex Sano and Brian Monroe with you until 10 o'clock. We got Vlad Luisan on the other side of the glass. Thanks again to Dan Day for joining us for a little day spa action. Yeah, I brought up in the last segment, as a sports fan, is there anything better than, you know, watching your team on the field or on the court immediately celebrating the championship after you win it? And I knew this would come up, and I'm glad it did because I have not forgotten. A texter writes in, remember when the 2002 Canes celebrated their victory in the championship game on the field, but it was literally stolen moments later.
Why you gotta bring that up, man? I was there.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Now, I was watching it on TV, and I was crushed. What was it like being there?
Okay, when I say this story, it always hurts. This is Joe Zagacki's first season as the play-by-play voice of the Miami Hurricanes football.
Oof.
He's been there as the color commentator, but this was his voice. This was his first time as the play-by-play voice.
Maiden voyage.
So we're there in Fiesta. I mean, by the way, it's nothing but Ohio State Buckeye fans. There,
like a virus. They just,
it was
they're
just
everywhere.
Ridiculous.
Yeah.
The first time I saw them dot, I don't care about your dot and eye. Get that dot and eye out of my face, man. I don't care about your dot and eye. But it was a lot of them. Anyway, fourth down, boom. Incomplete. We think the Canes won. And Joe Zagacki gives one of the most beautiful soliloquies I've ever heard in my life.
Oh man, I bet he's great with those. He's unbelievable.
Great. I mean,
with those.
It was, you could tell this was a, there was love, there was passion.
He's
was
a wordsmith.
It was just beautiful.
Yeah.
DBJ is next. We're going crazy. I'm the producer of the Canes broadcast. I take 7 seconds. Like it felt like 45 seconds.
It did,
but it was probably like seven.
Weren't they like shooting fireworks off?
Everything was off. The guy, the players were wearing shirts. The hats were on. It was. And then I look on the field. And I see some nasty yellow. I want to say drawers, but it wasn't drawers. But I saw yellow. I see the yellow flag on the field.
Oh.
And then I got to tap Joe and, like, point to him like, there's a flag.
Oh, no.
And then he stopped. And we're like, what's going on here? And then the referee goes and says it was pass interference.
Which it wasn't.
Which we all know it wasn't. Terry Porter made the worst call in college football history.
He's probably still cashing those checks from Ohio State.
Teleport.
Yep.
Fraud. Damn. Did now I have worked with Joe Z for like the past 6 or 7 years, so that's a more experienced, more grizzled veteran. How much did he freak out? Because I wasn't listening to the radio call back in 02.
It was I mean, the fact that, I mean, it was everything. Like, you could tell from, it didn't matter where you were at. If you were a Miami Hurricane fan, you felt the enjoyment. Oh my God, I just saw my team win their second championship, the back to back. This is his first as the play by play voice. But I mean, think about it. He's been there the last couple of seasons, seeing his team improve and everything like that. We all feel an accomplishment. We all feel happy. We all know the game, like, they didn't play their best game, but they somehow found a way to win. Like, that's what we just let it out. And then all of a sudden, come to find out that there's more of this game to continue, and like the players, their family, like that whole sideline, they would just celebrate. You just released. Like,
and
you know
it was just
saying?
Like, it was a nightmare game you wanted to get out of because you already had the Willis McGahee
it was nasty,
injury.
Yeah, that was,
and like didn't like Ken Dorsey had to take some plays off in overtime because he got banged up.
It was just everybody was banged up. It was just it was as if you could tell, like, man, like this was a tough season. Somehow they were undefeated. They got to they get a chance to defend their title, and up to that moment, you felt like they won. They repeated that. This dynasty will be remembered. And then all of a sudden, you get there's a flag, and then now you got to readjust. Now you got to get back to the game and everything.
It's hard to win the game.
No,
twice.
You're done.
Yeah,
you're done.
Yeah.
Like, you're done.
I knew they were done. I knew they were
you're
done.
You're done. Like, everybody was just, it was bad. I just remember it's just after the game. Now you went from the excitement. Now you're sad because it's like,
well,
oh my
God. It's similar. Like, when I talk about how hard it is to win the game twice, it's like, these are apples to oranges because one was robbed because of a terrible call. The other was just an amazing shot. But it's like, you knew when Ray Allen hit the shot in Game 6, the Spurs were not winning that game. Like, you
Facts.
Knew it. Like, you still had to go to overtime, play overtime. You still had to go win Game 7. But when Ray Allen hit that shot, you just knew the Spurs will not win this game, and they're not going to win this series. Like, you knew that was the defining momentum shift for that championship, the same way that, you know, when Terry Porter threw that flag, you knew, like, we're not going to win this game a second time. It's over.
It's the proverbial stomach punch. Like, the whole air went out. Like, everything went out. You already, because you just celebrate. There's no way, if you celebrated something that you won, there's no way, I don't care who you are. I don't care who you are. There's no way you can recalibrate and just get back to that moment again, get focused to accomplish something that you feel like you just busted your ass for like 3 to 4 hours here. You got an overtime. You know, man, it was tough. And then, so it's, yeah, that was rough.
So shifting gears, I think that anyone out there who had a thought that, man, I really think Antonio Brown should have gotten a chance to play again this year.
Yeah, that guy.
That died yesterday when that video came out. Like, first of all, so you've probably seen it by now where he had the ordeal with the ex-girlfriend, who's the mother of his kids, who was there with the young children, by
the way. With the kids,
arguing over the Bentley, and he had evicted her, supposedly. The cops come over. He's mother bleeping and cursing at the Hollywood, Florida police, and he's cursing at the girlfriend with the kids. One of the most unbelievable train wrecks I've ever seen. And the craziest thing to me about it is...
Wait, which one? Because there's a couple of crazy things.
Well, I don't know, Vlad and Brian, what's worse, like the fact that this scene happened in the first place or the fact that Antonio Brown thought it was a good idea to stream it live on Instagram. Because usually when a video like that happens, it's usually captured by a third party, right? Someone's having a meltdown. They're yelling at their partner and police and their kids. Usually it's someone down the block filming it. Antonio Brown was the one streaming it live on his Instagram, probably thinking he was becoming a sympathetic figure by streaming it live. Like, I don't know what's crazier, the fact that the scene happened or the fact that he was the one filming it and streaming it.
It is Antonio Brown we're talking about, right?
It is.
Okay, can't get so, right.
Yeah, can't get right. It's not his first time. We obviously know what he did in the locker room streaming that speech. And this isn't actually the first video of him cursing out his baby mama or cursing out the Hollywood police by himself. Filming it. This is actually his second video where he had a very vulgar speech towards the police.
And
towards
where did he get those gummies from, buddy?
That's the number one question I want to know. Where? Because we just talked during the day spa.
How much money is being donated to Australia when you buy some of those gummies?
We were just talking about the dildos in the day spa, right?
Was he eating the gummies too? Did he have those?
How do you have
them?
Baby gummy?
It's got to be something.
Male
from, like,
organs, like, come on. What is that?
I don't know why.
Is that a Viagra?
I don't know why he had them, but I'm guessing those gummies only exist for bachelorette parties.
Bachelorette, we've seen them with those type of things, right? Yeah. Like gag gifts and everything else like that. They're funny for the ladies. Cool, but why do you have them?
Yeah, what's going on?
I don't know. That's weird.
Why do you have them?
Like, does he have them just for that occasion that he can throw it at someone and say, here, eat a bag of these? Like, it's that. He may only have them for that
purpose.
He had
a bag of Richards for no apparent reason.
Listen, in all honesty, somebody needs to get him some help.
Nah, he's donezo, man. Yeah. I cannot. If you're not taking a fly on him.
You can't justify signing. Like, he's way too much of a loose
cannon. He's been donezo on that. I'm just talking about just him as health-wise. Like, someone needs that's close to him to help him because he ain't all there.
If I'm the neighborhood, he's got to go. That's too much traffic. You bring too much heat to the neighborhood, man.
Well, you already saw what the police did. They cut him off.
Yeah, he used to train there at the Powell Field.
He used to have
the 7-on-7.
And he donated money for the 7-on-7.
Oh, yeah,
they gave the money back.
They gave the money back and banned him. And by the way, if you're really in an emergency and you call the cops,
they're not coming.
What do you think is going to happen there, AB?
They're going to take their time.
Who is it? Oh, yeah, okay, sure. No problem. We'll be right there.
That's what happens when you throw a bag of gummy Richards at him.
Exactly. Straight up. He deserves it. It's crazy. I saw that and I'm like, again? Literally, again, you want to do this again? Like, there's no way that you're doing this again
CTE,
on social media,
right? Brian,
it's not CTE, man.
CTE and some drugs.
Like, honestly, like, if he were smart, he'd blame it on CTE because it's like, how do you question him on that? Because you don't know if someone has CTE till after
death.
By
the way,
like,
this has not just started with Antonio Brown. This has just started with Antonio Brown in the public. I don't know how he kept some of the stories that he did.
Mike Tomlin's a good guy.
This long, because I know people that have actually been very close to him as far as working for him in different aspects, and they go, we don't know how the stories never came out. We don't
know. Okay, so you're saying that's interesting. So this is not necessarily us watching him get worse before our eyes.
No, we're just
seeing it for the first time.
Yes, you guys are just seeing it. Now, I've heard these stories forever. Since he was drafted, I've heard he has been the worst client for some people.
See, the first sign for me was when I saw him with that ridiculous bleach mustache. That's when I, and that was like less than a, well, maybe that wasn't the first sign, but that might have been the first sign that like, oh, this guy's really going off the deep end. But he's been like this since college, you're saying?
Since he's been drafted.
Wow.
Since the people that I know worked with him said he was the worst client they've ever had to work with. And by the way, someone just texted me and said that those gummies were bought for his girlfriend. Yeah.
Just for that purpose?
No, they were supposed to be given to the girlfriend, and then he took them back like a cheapsake to throw them at the cops.
Interesting.
Yeah. So he bought it for her.
Yeah. I don't know if it was a gag gift or whatnot, wow. But we know AB is a little what in the head, so... Yeah.
I can't trust a man who can't spell can't.
Yeah, can you believe that? Like, can you believe that?
Like, I can't trust a man who can't spell can't.
Is it a joke? Like, is it
Nah, it wasn't a joke because he said can't a lot.
Yeah,
isn't he supposed to be going back to school?
Well, he needs
like, I blame Central Michigan right now. Yeah. Like, you can't even basic, like, English. Come on,
Central
man.
Michigan. Yeah, that's pretty bad. Central
By the way,
Michigan.
I don't know if this is true or not, but a texter writes in, you can get at us at the Kendall Toyota, West Kendall Toyota text line at 67974. That a listener sent some of those gummies to Hawk and Crowder.
Hmm.
That would be funny.
That would be funny.
Have you ever seen, like, I actually have friends who, I've never been sent one of these, thank goodness, but they'll send, I think it's called, like,
the poop?
No, it's like a bleep in a box. Like, it's basically a giant one of those. You send it, like, it's a pack, like, the package arrives at someone's house, and it's labeled like something else. So you think, oh, someone sent me a Nintendo Switch, or somebody sent me a coffee machine. And then you open it, and it's a big Richard.
Wow.
Yeah.
Nah, we got to fight. Gift. We got to shoot. We got to shoot a fair one.
I know about.
Got to shoot a fair
I
one.
I know about the ones that people send poop. They like. There's a gift of poop.
You're not sending me Richards or poops, man. Nah, that's not happening. That's just too much. You took the time, all right, to go to a post office, to stamp, to buy some stamps, put in a box, and send it to me. What kind
of
friend
are you?
Well,
I could just call a company, and they do all that.
That's too much.
I think I would just laugh. Like, if somebody sent that to me, I don't like Vlad is going to go on some real rage.
No. We gotta shoot a fair one. We got to shoot a fair one. Because that's ridiculous. Because you got to understand, your friends don't know. They don't care about when that package is delivered. So what if you're in a family gathering, you decide, oh, the package came in. And then you look, and then all of a sudden, a big box of Richard on. No.
Big box of Richards.
One of my friends who received one of those, like his dad opened the package, and it was a little awkward, I think.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Wow.
Is there any road back for Antonio Brown?
No.
Maybe not like this, but we've seen redemption stories before. Do you think he's played his last down
in
the NFL?
Facts.
Do you think we'll ever see him turn up in an XFL?
No, he's got too
much pride for that.
And plus, Vince doesn't want anybody that was involved in any type of domestic case or stuff like that.
I also think it's easy to say that.
He changed his tune, though, because he said anybody got arrested, then he extended an offer to Johnny Manziel. And I was like, that changed real quick.
Yeah, and honestly, I know that when Vince had the big XFL unveil or the re-unveiling, because like what the XFL used to exist,
he hate me,
Tommy Maddox MVP. But when he had like the big presser, I know he talked about that. No one with like any history of arrest, domestic violence, but then when you actually reach the reality of having a fledgling league where you're trying to make some money, maybe by signing people who fans have heard of, do you think he may change his tune? Like if Antonio Brown. And maybe this wouldn't happen for a couple of years, like because then he can have the whole spiel of, I've been to a therapist, I've been to rehab, I'm getting my life together. You know, I don't know if he can ever play for the NFL again, but if he decided he wanted to play for the XFL, do you think Vince McMahon could say, you know what, I can see this as a great redemption story?
I mean, if they're not having any revenue, then I can see that. If they're not profiting, then you would go that route. But, I mean, how old is AB now?
31.
I knew it was going to be 30, 31.
You're talking about a 33, 34-year-old receiver?
Yeah, but the XFL receivers can probably play till they're 40.
I mean, Chad Ochocinco's going to be a kicker.
That's right.
What do you think about that, B?
I love that.
I mean, look, he's kicked field goals before.
Yeah.
Kicked the extra point in an NFL game. Right? And they just showed him in the warm-ups in the practice for that kick in a 60-yard field goal.
So the best player on the field is actually going to be a field goal kick.
Isn't that funny?
Imagine him, a fake field goal, let's go. No, kick the extra point. No, we're running a fake again.
Speaking of kickers, what do you think of Jose Borregales coming into Miami? I love it. Like, I love the fact that I've actually seen FIU football fans who are legitimately triggered by the fact that, you know, their guy who hit, you know, the 50 and the 53 yarders and helped them beat Miami has just decided I'm leaving and I'm going to Miami. Like, I also I'm sure he grew up wanting to be a Cane. Like, anybody who went to FIU yep. grew up wanting to be a Cane. His brother's already committed for the mm-hmm. class of 2021. Like, I love it. I love the fact that a guy who can actually competently kick a field goal for more than 50 yards is coming to my school.
I loved it because now it solidifies that the brother is going to be here in 2021, who is ranked the number one kicker, and he's a beast. So happy for that.
Yeah.
I found it kind of funny when he committed, because the first thing he said is, you know, as much hate or something like that in the lines of talking about hate, you know, it's all love. And I'm like, oh, I would love to be one of his teammates, because you got to give him some ish. You have to. You got to give him some ish. Like, you have to mess with him a little bit. You know what I'm saying? Put up the pictures everywhere. Give him a hard time, you know, because that's part of coming into the locker room, camaraderie and stuff like that. But, look, you know, the kicking situation has been disastrous. You know, luckily.
I mean, you think about, and obviously Miami had some really brutal losses, but if we had had Jose Borregales last year, they might have been an 8 or a 9 win team.
Oh, for sure.
Like okay, they still may have lost the Laffers that they lost to FIU and Louisiana Tech, but
no.
They would have beaten Georgia Tech. They would have beaten Virginia Tech.
Like, beaten like North Florida. Carolina.
They would have beaten Florida.
I wouldn't say we would have beaten Florida, but we'd have been in the game.
What was the score? Because they lost by 4.
Lost by 4. So and that means they missed the field goal, right?
They missed an extra point and two field goals.
They would have had like 9.
They would have had like 7. They would have beaten Florida. So, that changes
so
a lot.
Games. Wow. Four wow. games.
Dang. And what did they finish? Six and seven.
Yeah.
4 games.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's 10-3.
Yeah, because we would have beat North Carolina because they missed field goal.
Instead of people wanting to bring in a spy to watch Manny Diaz, they'd be wanting to build a Manny Diaz statue. Like, how different would that have been?
10-3 and a big bowl game, like maybe a January 1st game.
No, 10-3 would have put you in the Orange Bowl.
Yeah, would have
against Florida again.
Yeah,
in a rematch.
That would have been because we'd have been ranked.
And with a kicker, you would have beaten them again, no problem.
And with a would have scored points.
I mean, think about it. If you're the OB, do you want Virginia or do you want Miami playing against Florida?
Oh, I want Virginia. If you're the OB, you want Miami, Florida.
Exactly. So that's what it would have been.
Did either of you guys attend the Orange Bowl? Like, how many Virginia fans were there? Like, obviously, it was, you know, there's a huge Florida alumni base, but was there even like a decent, like 5,000 Virginia fans?
Oh, I think so. They showed a good amount. I think it was probably 80-20 percentage wise, because think about it like that. They're freezing up north. How many of them get to come to South Florida?
Yeah.
How many times are their team playing a New Year's Six game? They make a trip out of it.
Yeah, it's like a once-in-a-lifetime thing.
Yeah. And, I mean, they've got a pretty big alumni base spread out around the country. I'm sure there's some Virginia people in Florida that said, you know what? Let's go down to Miami. Let's have a good time. They made it a game for a little bit. It was kind of fun.
67974 is how you get at us on the Kendall Toyota and West Kendall Toyota text line. But please don't text and drive. Joe Burrow, what a game last night. Did he have the best season in college football history? We discuss next. Now, am I just a prisoner of the moment, or did we just witness in Joe Burrow the greatest individual season in college football history? Because the numbers back that up, right? 60 touchdown passes, 65 total touchdowns, more than anyone in a single season in college football history, more than 6,000 yards of total offense by Burrow. And, yeah, the resume of the teams he beat was solid. Like, I was just looking at a stat on Yahoo Sports, just going through his postseason run, you know, SEC title game and then the two playoff games against Georgia, Oklahoma, and Clemson, 16 touchdown passes, 0 interceptions. So, I mean, he ended the season in style, was tremendous throughout the year. You know, if you're looking for, like, recent, you know, numbers to compare to it, yeah, Cam Newton at Auburn in 2010 was amazing that year, 51 touchdowns, but, you know, not as many yards or touchdown passes as Joe Burrow. Did he just have the best individual, not talking team season or team success, best individual season in college football history?
Well, you look at it and say he set all these numbers and these records and stuff like that, and stats don't lie. But I look at this also that no one ever brings up. He did have an extra game than a lot of people.
That's a good point. Yeah, more than Cam Newton. Although I don't think I don't think Newton would have thrown 9 touchdowns in one more game.
No. He wouldn't have thrown that much. But Cam Newton was also on the ground type player. And I mean, that's probably the single best season I've ever seen before Joe Burrow was the Cam Newton season. But you know, he broke Colt Brennan's record of passing touchdowns, and Colt Brennan played in 14 games.
Right.
And Joe Burrow played in 5 games. Now, not taking anything away from Joe Burrow. 15 games, my bad.
Yeah.
Apologize. Not taking anything from what they did because it was amazing stuff that they did. But you also got to look, they got an extra game too now. So yeah, if you had some other guys with some extra games, where would their stats be? Because, you know, the guys in the, 80s and 90s, they didn't play in 14 games either. They played in, 12, 13? You know, there's some seasons that where they were like 12-1, 12-0, 13-0.
Well, I'll go back all the way back to 01. I think Miami was just 12-0 that year because they only had to play 11 regular season games, and there was no conference championship,
and there was no playoff game.
There was no playoffs. So they were 12-0 that year.
So when you look at stats, yes, it's amazing stuff, but you also got to look at how many games these guys were afforded to play, how many games back in the day people played. I would say, listen, passing, it's the best season I've ever seen single-handedly from a quarterback. That was unbelievable. The percentages, the completion percentages, the touchdowns, how he's able to run too as well, move out of the pocket, the weapons, it was disgusting. I mean, the kid played unbelievable. It was fun to watch. And I mean, I kind of feel bad for him going to Cincinnati, but hey, you know, you're still going to make a lot of money at least, right?
I mean, that's why I rank the Bengals as my biggest winner.
Oh, they have
what happened
be.
Last night.
They have to be. They have to be the biggest winner.
Well, let me shift gears to baseball real quick because Alex Cora is out as Red Sox manager.
That's right.
Had to happen. I mean, it had to happen when he was the mastermind of the – because he was the bench coach for the Astros before he took over as the manager in Boston. Allegedly, he was the guy who designed the sign-stealing stuff.
That explains a lot, Dono. I told you this during the break. Remember, you know the meme with Spider-Man looking at each other?
Yeah.
Yeah.
If you remember the 2018 ALCS, it was one of the weirdest LCSs ever because it felt like both teams know that I think the other team is cheating.
Right. Are they cheating better? Yeah, you're right because Houston, they were obviously – they had the Alex Cora antics that he created while he was there.
Right.
And then they figure, well, he's in Boston now. He must be stealing some signs in Boston. Yeah.
Boston had an unbelievable season, and Houston was the defending champions. Houston get to the LCS, and they get mollywopped. Like, they get whipped by Boston, like, in 5 games. And it was just – but it was just like, well, wait a minute. Like, both teams are kind of, like, not playing the way that they usually play. And it just felt weird. And it was like – it made Boston even more a dominant team. There's 2 teams I feel sorry for being this situation. The Los Angeles Dodgers.
Don't say your team.
Oh, of course my team.
God, get out of here with that.
Of course.
All right, let me ask you a question.
2017.
Let me ask you a question.
This started in 2017, correct?
Let me ask you a question. What's the worst cheating? This or all the steroids?
I think this.
This, man.
I really think this because everybody was on steroids.
Okay, so everybody was on steroids.
Yeah.
But not everybody got caught. Is that what we're saying?
Nobody's if people cheat, man, but nobody's actually have like visual.
Well, okay, I think I know where Brian's going with this. Are you going? How many more teams do you think are videotaping?
That's what I'm going to say. Yeah,
I don't think any of them. I don't think. You know what?
Teams, and I don't think it's any of them.
I don't. No. We got 2 teams because of 1 guy.
I get that.
So, if
but how many assistants worked with him, and how many? Where did he learn it from?
I think he began. I think he started it.
I'm just saying.
I don't know. I think Brian's onto something because, like, I was watching ESPN today, and they ran this piece on like going back to the 60s, and then back to like 1917, you had some guy sitting in the stands with a telescope, and they rigged a buzzer to like buzz to steal signals and to let them know if it was a fastball or an off-speed pitch. I mean, maybe Cora perfected it.
But Cora went beyond. Okay, first you got a videotape, then you got messages, then you got banging the trash cans. Like, let's take it. Come on, man. That's just a little too much.
So would you have cared more if they just stole the signals, like they were able to pick up the signals and then hit the trash can?
Yes. Okay, I wouldn't care that.
It's cool if they steal the signal, hit the trash can.
Too much technology.
There's too much technology because I think in game 5 in 2019 ALDS against the Rays, they figured out what the pitcher of the Rays was doing. If his hands was up, it was going to be a fastball. If his hands was down, it was going to be a curveball, off-speed pitch. It was something to that effect. But me being a fan, seeing it and recognizing it, and if the players do, I have no problem with that.
Yeah, I'm cool with that.
That's cool.
Yeah.
But when you're videotaping from center field, and then you're sending messages, verbal text, whatever, to the dugout, and then they have a chance to look at it in video, the players, and then the players come out to the dugout, start banging the trash can in a way to let you know what pitch is about to happen, that's too much.
Isn't it impressive that we live in such a social media world that none of this came out from any of the players that might have been traded or left that team?
No, yeah. It was one of the players. That's how this whole thing started.
But it took a while.
It took 3 years later.
Oh, yeah, it took a while. But I guess there were certain players that were on that team that didn't want to do this. Like, they wanted to win.
Right.
They wanted to earn it. And it bothered them.
But on that note, though, don't you think one of those guys who wanted to do it the right way would have maybe blown the whistle? Like, I guess maybe you think, oh,
they got to blow the whistle after you win. You're going to blow the whistle during. If you're going to blow the whistle,
well,
you probably blow the whistle during.
No, you do the whistle afterwards.
You blow the whistle afterwards.
Yeah, once I get my ring.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Once you get the ring, you're going to be like,
because like everyone keeps saying like, oh, it's tarnished now. And I go,
it already happened. It happened, man.
Everybody did the celebration.
But like, how much does this tarnish baseball, though, in general? Because it's not like they're the most popular sports league. Because I mean, Brian, I remember when we were kids, man, trading baseball cards was the thing. That was America's pastime, you know, back in the early 90s. And then it really became all about the NFL. And now the NBA is bigger than it used to be back in those days. So baseball is not the thing that it was decades ago to begin with. And I think part of it was, you know, the strike in what was it, in 94. I think the steroid era turned some people off from it. There's now this scandal. Like, how much worse does it make this for baseball? Because I admit, I've been wrong about this stuff before. Because I can remember, you know, in the NBA when the Tim Donaghy scandal first came out, I thought, man, like, people will never respect the NBA in the same way. And I was wrong. People got over that pretty quick.
Yeah.
So how quickly does Major League Baseball move past this nonsense? You know what? You know what I do think helped them? The fact that this news started breaking on a week where you were coming right out of a big round of NFL playoff action.
Oh, yeah.
National championship game is about to be played. Like, they couldn't have found a better way to time these firings and these updates, right? Because they weren't front page news the way that they would have been if this had happened, like, during the summer, let's say.
Look, it'll take a couple years and it'll be gone. No one will remember it. Like, if you're, it's like anything else, right? We talked about the steroid era. That was the biggest thing ever. Oh, my God. It's going to destroy baseball. By the way, where does Alex Rodriguez work?
He's more popular now than he's ever
been. Okay, and he works for
rehabilitation stories ever, man.
He's married to J-Lo now.
He works for Major League Baseball. Rehab stories ever.
Like, come on. This is going to be one of those things. And you know, we talk about, like, attendance in baseball is so low, but their revenue is still way up there. Why? Because of technology. Right, because now you also get all these streaming platforms.
Well, because you got revenue sharing with people like the Yankees carrying the load.
And also because fantasy baseball, gambling, that keeps everybody involved and the money still flowing with people watching it.
I can never get into that fantasy
baseball.
Neither
can I. No.
I tried to play it 1 year. I got kicked out of my league because I never checked my team. They kicked me out of the damn league.
Why? Because you have to keep changing your lineup, right?
Yeah.
And how many days?
Oh, it's every day. Seven days, man.
Yeah,
oh,
hell no. I never understood. Like, I never
it's
really
not
understood
that hard.
The rules.
It's just that you just don't.
I'm an idiot. Time out.
No. You play NFL fantasy football, don't you?
I do, and that I understand.
And you understand, but every week you're looking up at the waiver wire to see if somebody you can grab, you need to pick up, or you need to drop. Same thing with baseball, is just every day.
But I never understood the way the scoring worked. Like, I never understood anything about it. Like, football to me is easy.
It's not that difficult.
Yards, touchdowns, boom.
I just don't play it, but it's not that difficult.
Yeah, but how do you get defensive points?
You don't
get defensive points in baseball? Is this straight up?
No,
How do pitchers get points?
Pitchers get points by wins, ERA, and strikeouts.
See, already you've lost.
Oh, hell no.
How?
I'm good.
I don't know. I don't understand anything.
I'm passing.
You don't understand wins? So you don't
understand
get a pitcher. If a pitcher's going to pitch twice in a week, you want to make sure that you put him in there so he can grab you two wins?
That means I got to look up all that stats?
It's not really that hard. It's every 5 days, you know, a pitcher's thrown.
I don't like this. I just stay away from this fantasy
baseball. And it's too
slow
for me anyways. Like, it's too slow. Like, literally, I tried to watch a baseball game the other day, and I was like, yep, this ain't going to work. Nope, I'm out.
I mean, you just don't want to do it.
I couldn't even watch the World Series.
Well, yeah.
I watched part of it.
I mean, they're cheating over there.
Right. That ruins it for me.
Okay, but here's the thing. So did the Yankees with steroids.
What do you mean? Yankees weren't cheating steroids. The whole league was cheating steroids.
So that means you were part of the cheating. Just a lot of people were doing it.
A player, yeah. If a player gets caught, that's great. If a whole organization,
you had multiple players in the NBA.
Everybody had multiple. Let me tell you this.
Yeah, so that means that you guys cheated too.
But did we get caught videotaping or doing stuff like that?
I'm not talking about the videotape. I'm talking about.
I think videotaping's
worse.
Videotaping's worse. Exactly.
Of course it is. Look at Bill Belichick.
You know,
I say this all the time. I wish we had what's his name, Rob Manfield.
Manfred.
Manfred? Wish he was the commissioner back then for them.
Why?
Because he would boot them for a couple years.
But you see, that's funny. A lot of people think Manfred didn't give the Astros a severe punishment.
What?
Yeah, some people think
First round pick in 2 years, second round pick.
Some people think the owner should have lost the team.
No, hell no.
Texter writes in, he may be right about this, by the way. Major League Baseball is loving this controversial news. It's the only press that has made them relevant in years. Now, actually, I don't think he's right about that, because if they were loving this controversial news, they would have made sure this came out on a day or a week where people actually paid attention.
Yeah.
They slipped it under the radar.
They did.
They slid into the DMs. Smart. 8 o'clock hour coming up. I'll have some headlines for you. We'll talk a little Dolphins when we come back here on 790 The Ticket.